All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We're back with more Between Two Worlds, so let's get started. Thankfully, I prefer to extract my ingredients naturally from the source. She steps closer to you before dropping to her knees and unstrapping your belt and unstrapping your belt and dropping your pants. I'm sure you understand what I'm getting at, right? The essence of man. It is a very potent ingredient, especially from a specimen such as you. She reaches up, grasping you with her hand. Your body responds quickly, blood rushing to your cock. Leaning forward, she runs her tongue along your now perfectly hard shaft to the head. She kisses the tip before moving back down and doing it again, showing a near reverence for the tool in front of her face. With every stroke of her tongue, you actually begin to feel as if part of you is being pulled out, though the feeling is very faint. You try to reach down and take hold of her to move things forward, but she stops you, smiling. Sorry, this is a one-way road. I'll take care of you, and that will be the end of it. Without waiting for a response, she simply takes you fully into her mouth, swirling her tongue around the head. Keeping your hands to yourself, you just watch and enjoy, light moans escaping your mouth. Ugh. Her other hand moves off her ass, that's what it says, and begins to massage your sack. The girl is obviously quite experienced, and she works your cock with skill. The slight feeling of something being drawn from you grows, as does the pressure in your loins. Kisa seems to understand this and works you even harder, edging you closer. Within moments, you're unable to hold back any longer, your body tensing up. She immediately pulls back, leaving just your tip in her mouth, and you fill it with several weeks' worth of potent seed. Moaning slightly herself, as if drawing sustenance from the protein shake coating her tongue, she strokes you through your orgasm. Once your twitching has stopped, she grabs you from the base, squeezing and pulling forward, milking every drop from your organ. You can feel her tongue massaging your glands, leaving nothing behind. Satisfied that she got it all, Kisa rises and moves to a shelf, grabbing a jar from the collection. She quickly fills it with your cum, licking her lips after finishing and looking back at you. Oh yes, that will do quite nicely. That will last me at least a month, maybe two. Glad to be of service? She smiles at you before gesturing to your pants, still puddled at your feet. You can put those back on now. Payment has been made in full, and now I will fulfill my part of the bargain. To be honest, I feel pretty fulfilled already, but yeah, I'll take the help too. She dips a finger into the jar before placing it on the shelf. Moving over her cauldron, or over to her cauldron rather, she runs the finger through the water before adding a couple more items. She whispers some arcane words and waves you over. Think about your mission. Think about what you know and who you want. Keep those thoughts in your mind and look into the water. Stepping up next to her, you see the liquid is swirling and rippling, a sickly green color. At the moment, the fluid shimmers before... After a moment, the fluid shimmers before showing an old church-like structure. It doesn't stay long. It quickly fades away before showing a dark crypt. Once again, the image shimmers and reforms, showing a groglock near a pillar in the crypt. He actually seems to be hiding and scared. Is that him? It is whoever you are thinking about. I assume since it is a groglock, and that is not a groglock house, it is likely the one you're searching for. But I don't understand. Where is this? I cannot tell you that. I've never seen it before myself. But at least you know you have something to go on, other than a general direction. I suppose that is something. Thank you, though you may want to get dressed before we go back out to the others. Ah, yes, that is probably a good idea. She waves her hand as she did before, and is once again dressed in the same clothing she started with. I really need to learn that trick. Could be handy when trying to get away from angry husbands. Come back sometime, I'll be happy to teach you, though it may require another payment. I don't think I'll have a problem with that. The two of you leave the hut, walking out to the rest of the group. Kesray raises an eyebrow. Well, that was quick. Hopefully you were good enough to get what we needed. Kisa runs a finger along the side of her mouth, smiling. Oh, his payment was very satisfying, thank you. Gross. Anyway, I think we're done here. Everyone ready to move on? No one complains, so the horses are quickly collected and mounted. You look down at Kisa. Thank you again for the help. I hope we meet again someday. Oh, something tells me we will. Safe travels. The group quickly sets out once more, still heading southeast. You relay the information learned from the cauldron, leaving out the payment details. If they had thought to look back, they would have seen a very... Excuse me. If they had thought to look back, they would have seen a very odd occurrence. Kisa watches you leave before taking a deep breath, closing her eyes and looking up. Amazingly, her appearance changes from the young woman they had seen to her true form. The now green and scarred woman continues watching, a satisfied smile on her face. I don't think we should have done that. Under the light of a bright harvest moon, you find an area suitable to make camp for the night. As you have not been able to obtain supplies for Rayliana, she will again be sharing your tent this evening. Getting camp set up quickly, you all gather around the fire to enjoy a meal and conversation. So, the Grimlord, what did Kesha want from you? You're still here, and she probably wasn't a cannibal. It was Kisa, and she needed some unprotected, passionate hugging. Oh, is that what we're calling it now? You don't need to tone it down for Rayliana. We made sure that she knows all about your antics while you were hugging. Hey, no judgment here. We all get the things we need using the talents we have, right? Oh, good. More encouragement. Now he'll never stop. Can I just point out in my defense that I did not have sexual relations with that woman? Well, more accurately, I did not have sex with her. She did all the work. I just stood there, never even touched her. That is true, guys. You did watch the scene. Wow, you got shot down, huh? Guess you're not quite the Romeo you think you are. Nah, she just needed some mayo for her sandwich. I was happy to oblige. After a generous amount of groaning, there is a unanimous decision to move on from that particular topic after you share what you saw. For now, I think we continue as we have been going. I have a feeling that we're on the right track. I see no reason to change that now. And how far do we go with that? We need more info. Hopefully we'll find some soon, but until we get something that indicates otherwise, we should continue. No one else has anything to add, and nighttime sounds take over the camp. Deciding to call it a night, everyone heads to bed so as to start out early in the morning. You stay by the fire for a few extra minutes, giving Ray the chance to settle down in private. Figuring enough time has passed, you pour some water on the logs and move to your tent. Hey Grim! I kind of want to try a little roleplay in the game if you're up for it. Depends. What exactly do you mean? Well, this is an adult version of the game, right? Kind of thinking I might jump in on the adult part of it. But it's gonna be, well, if it works, you'll be under my control. Your character won't have much say in what happens. Basically, you want your character to force yourself onto Grimm's character through use of your abilities? You could say that, yeah. Emily leans over to Skylar, whispering, "How is this girl your sister?" "Hey, we're all our own person. I don't judge her." "So what do you say, Grim? Up for a little roleplay with me instead of Oscar for a change?" "Alright. Ball is your court. Ball is your court, you two. Have at it." Okay, you soon find yourself on your back, able to move, but only marginally. You also realize that you feel a growing desire within you. There is an urge, a need to engage in the most carnal of behaviors. There is a stirring of movement to your left, and suddenly Ray moves into your field of view, smiling at you. She lights a lantern next to the two of you, light filling the tent. You quickly notice that she isn't wearing a top. Well, looks like it worked. Feels like it, too. You realize that she has moved her hand down your body and is now gripping your cock over the top of your pants. Your face must have displayed some kind of concern or anxiety as she tries to relax you. Don't worry, the feeling will pass once the pressure is relieved. I wanted to experience some of that unprotected, passionate hugging. Sa ona homie. You should probably stop that. We don't need the others to know about this now, do we? I already know that you don't mind. I could feel it when I went to put the thought into your head. It's like adding a bucket of water to a river. But this way, I get to be in control while practicing my skills. How am I doing so far? Alright, you can't really say much at the moment. I need to work on that, I guess. Maybe I overdid it. Alright, live and learn, right? Anyway, enough small talk. We both have needs that must be attended to. She quickly disrobes what little she's wearing before doing the same to you. For the second time today, you simply have to relax and enjoy the ride. Or at least watch as Ray enjoys the ride. After struggling to reposition your motionless body, she mounts you. Sliding her hand between the two of you, she guides you into her warm confines. Unable to move much at all, you lay there and watch as she begins to move on you slowly. You know, you're only the second man to be inside me. I have to say, this is way better. Keeping her speed steady, she seems to actually be trying to learn from the experience. I can actually feel every inch of you, the imperfections of the skin, even the beating of your heart. She continues talking to you, never looking away, occasionally smiling. You barely fit. I can actually feel the presence as you bottom out inside of me. I can see why guys get aggressive over this. The feeling of control is amazing. She actually slaps you across the face, not hard, obviously not meant to inflict pain, but more to affirm her control of the situation. Stopping for a moment, she again smiles. Yeah, I can get used to this. Groaning, you use what little control you have to focus your energy, pushing your hips up just enough for her to notice. Oh, did you want me to keep going? You gather your energy again, drawing on some of your magical reserves, and thrust once more. She smiles. I'll take that as a yes. She moves again, this time faster, and with some extra flair tossed in. In addition to bouncing harder on you, her hips are moving to the side, side to side, slightly. Rayliana no longer tries to maintain eye contact with you. Instead, her head drops as she focuses on enjoying herself. She uses all of her strength, pushing down on your fleshy staff, taking you as deep as possible. I don't know about you, but I think we should do this more often. Still working her hips as she controls the flow, she manages to remain extremely quiet. As she does, you come to the realization that you're slowly regaining control of yourself. You're able to move your fingers again. She moves a little quicker, starting to really get into it as her excitement rises. You're now able to move your feet. Her breathing comes quicker as her fingers tighten on your chest. You find that you can move your head side to side. Yes, I can feel it. I can feel you. You're ready. I'm ready. Fill me, Grim, and make me yours. As you wish. Her face immediately comes up and looks at yours as your arms rise, your hands moving to her body. The unexpected actions give her a burst of adrenaline and combined with her heightened arousal cause her to go over the edge instantly. Throwing her head back, she groans softly, your body vibrating with her orgasm. You follow right behind her, unloading yourself into her. She twitches a few times as she rides through the waves running up her body. A moment later, she collapses on your chest, breathing heavily. Okay, that was fun. I guess I need to work on maintaining control while distracted, huh? Heh, maybe a little bit, though you didn't need to go through all that to begin with. I'd have gone along with it without the manipulation. I figured as much, but like I said, I really did want to try my luck. I do need to get better at this. Though I don't think you were a fitting target, at least for this. You were far too willing to accept what I was trying to do. Maybe you should try it on Thaurine or Tosca. Or if you're feeling particularly brave, Kesray. Now that's a thought. Although Tosca might be a little awkward. Never know if you don't try. So, can we go to sleep now? Wow, they were right. Guys really do just fucking sleep. Hey, we eat too. Don't forget that part. Well, now that's a thought for next time. She dismounts you, and the two of you put on some clothes before settling in for some sleep. You should also work on being quieter. And don't you dare try that shit on me. There's some light laughter around the camp before silence retakes the forest and everyone enjoys their slumber. Waking a bit later than planned, you notice that Ray is no longer next to you. It doesn't take long for the fog of sleep to clear and the voices of the girls to be heard. Crawling out of the tent, you see the women are fully geared up and seem to be ready to leave. There is a light fog in the air with the morning. Tosca notices you and immediately puts on an air of impatience. Well, it's about time. You've been out here waiting for an hour, and you're just lazing around in your tent. I know, right? Now he's going to demand some time to put himself together, and we'll have to wait even more. Men, can't live with them. Can't string them up by their balls. The other girls look at Kesray as Rayliana comes up from behind her. Well, that might have gone a little further than we intended. All right, I get it. Just know that this coordinated attack will not be forgotten, and there will be repercussions. Yes, Joram, rise. Yo, Joram, rise and shine. I prefer not to be the only target of these ladies. You hear some grumbling from Joram's tent, indicating that he's heard you. You turn back to the girls. Is there any breakfast, at least? You hear that, Tosca? Now we're expected to provide food as well. Typical. The girls stare at you in unison, but the facade lasts only a moment before they start laughing. Sorry, Grim, we just wanted to mess with you. We don't actually think you're a bad guy, most of the time, anyway. So does that mean there is some bacon? They laugh again before Ray tosses you a bit of bread, but no bacon, unfortunately. More is given to Joram as he joins the group. You both make quick work of the food before breaking down camp, mounting the horses, and resuming your journey. Before long, you come across a building in the forest. The building is somewhat small, but well cared for. As you approach, you see a small but stocky person tending to a garden of flowers outside. They look up at you and give a small wave. Hello, travelers! Welcome to Ballroom! Greetings and salutations. It's nice to see signs of civilization again, though you don't see all that many dwarves around outside the mountains. Well, we're not exactly what I would call civilization, but we certainly have plenty to offer those out on the road. We run a trading post here. As for the other bit, I personally find the overworld to be a bit much more pleasant place. But I can understand the point. My name is Grumman. My husband and I run this place. Been here many years. I'm betting you're in need of supplies. Why don't you let me take care of those horses, and you can go inside. Whatever you need, Beneg most likely will have something to handle it. Everyone dismounts, shaking the stiffness of their ride out of their arms, legs, and backs. Thank you. We actually do need some stuff. We appreciate it. The woman leads your horses away to graze as you head inside. The interior of the building is well appointed, with a wide assortment of products. Near a cabinet stands another stocky yet bald dwarf. Wow, he looks like the dwarf in almost every RPG. He greets you happily as you enter.
Welcome! Name's Benning. And if you want it, I've possibly got it. What can I get for you fine folks?
Tosca steps forward, pulling Rayliana away with her. Along with her, rather. Hello, Beneg. You and your wife are so kind. Most of the dwarves I've met tend to be sour and grumpy.
I actually agree with you. Grumman and I think it's because they spend so much time below. That's why we prefer living topside.
Well, we're glad you're here. We need to outfit this young woman. She has recently joined our little group and is lacking in supplies.
You've come to the right place. Come right over here, young lady. Let's get you taken care of.
Kesray comes over to you while Tosca, Tharine, and Ray move off with Benning. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to sit here and watch Gimli bilk the girls out of all their money. Want to mess with them a bit? What do you mean? I mean, you use your magic and fuck with his head, we watch and laugh. Pretty simple. What do you have in mind? Well, have you ever heard of waterboarding?
Whoa, hold up. Are you about to torture one of my NPCs?
Yes, but no. It's not like we're actually going to waterboard Gimli. His name isn't Gimli. It is to me. Can we get back to the game now? Oscar grumbles, but allows the game to proceed.
Alright, I'm game. What's your plan? I'm thinking you can make him think water is dripping on him from above. That'd be a good start. Nodding, you look over to where Benning is dealing with the girls. With a slight wave of your hand, you cast... Prestidigitation. Benning immediately looks up, confused. A moment later, he returns his eyes to the girls. You and Kesare watch, amused, as he seems to forget it happened. With another wave of your hand, you cause the door to swat at the air above him, looking at his ceiling in concern. The girls are also looking up, but don't know what they're looking for. He grunts and returns his attention to them. Okay, time to step it up. How about... fill his boots with water. I can make him think his boots are filled with water. They won't be, of course, but it'll still mess with him. She grins at you, nodding. Do it! Another subtle wave of the hand, and Benning jumps into the air, the sudden sensation of water on his feet scaring him. He quickly sits on the floor, for moving his boots and tipping them over, but nothing comes out. Shaking the boots, still nothing to explain the sensation he felt. He looks back and forth between them, wondering if he had too much to drink this morning. Replacing the boots, he stands once more and continues negotiating prices with the girls. Man, I should learn to do magic. This is good. And for my next trick, how about a little music? Your hand moves through the air, though you make it look like you're stretching. A second later, subtle chime sounds begin to take form within the building. They are very quiet, but definitely audible to everyone. Oh shit, forget that one is an area of effect. Raylion immediately looks over at you before leaning to Tosca and whispering to her. Meanwhile, Benning is frantically looking around for the source of the sound, starting to grow concerned for his sanity. Tosca excuses himself from the group, walking over to you and Kesare. Stop right now. Now I know why he was acting strange. You're being cruel to the man, and he's actually being very kind to us. Kesare struggles to hold in her giggles as you straighten yourself up a bit. Oh, come on, Tosca. We're just having a bit of fun. It's not like we're hurting him. Well, playtime is over. Leave him alone, or I'll make sure that Joram puts a laxative into your dinners tonight. Whatever. I was getting bored anyway. Kesare quickly turns and heads out the door. You snap your fingers, making the chime sound stop. Thank you. We shouldn't be much longer. She shoves back over to the other two, and you notice that Benning seems quite concerned. He is shifting side to side, looking around nervously. Over the next 10 minutes, the girls manage to outfit Raylion fairly well, and apparently at a good price. They all make their way back towards the door, where you join them. Thank you again for the business, and once more, I apologize for my strange behavior. I don't know what was going on. Don't worry about it. You've been very nice to work with, and we appreciate that. Yeah, and the free dwarven ale you tossed in will be nice to enjoy at camp tonight. I'm happy to know you'll enjoy it. Make sure you spread the word about our little shop during your travels. We definitely will. Thank you again. You leave the shop, stepping back out into the bright light of the early morning sun. Kesare seems to be talking to Grumman over by the horses. Rev stays behind for a moment to get change. You join Kesare, who doesn't look happy. Looks like we're going to be leaving the horses behind. Why is that? I've been talking to Grumman while you all finished up at the mall. She has given me directions on where we should go for more information. But unless we plan to screw over that stable master, we'll need to arrange to have the horses returned from here. She is correct. The direction that you're headed, you won't find another settlement capable of returning the steeds. We can ensure they'll return for you. After a very brief conversation, it seems there's no choice. You don't want to develop a reputation of thievery among the lands. Looks like we're going with that then. What kind of price are we looking at? None. It'll be free. We have several regular customers that travel through here that go in that direction. They'll be happy to have the horses for a trip. Well then, sounds pretty fair to me. Thank you for that. So anyone have anything else that you need to do? No. Okay then. It's been wonderful, Grumman. You and your husband have been most generous. We must head out now. Come back someday. We also have discounts for repeat customers. I'll keep that in mind. Kess, lead the way. Kessray takes point, heading out from the trading post towards wherever it was that Grumman pointed her to. I miss the horses. After only an hour of walking, having left the horses behind with the doors, the group continues their adventure to the tune of Kessray's grumpiness. Kessray, stop complaining. We've traveled by foot our entire time together. This isn't new, and it's certainly not hard. I get that, but once you get a taste of luxury, you want to keep it. Joram takes an awkward step while rubbing his genitals gently. I don't know. I didn't find it all that luxurious riding behind you, and that saddle kept hitting my junk. I'm gonna be sore for a month. Shame it wasn't the Grimlord. Maybe he would have broken it and saved the world from the population explosion for a short time. To be fair, considering we haven't run into any of his former conquests demanding support, I'm starting to think he might be sterile. I'm right here, you know, and I'm not sterile. I just use a touch of magic to make sure the ovens don't start baking. Speaking of food, I'm getting hungry. Can we stop for lunch? Everyone agrees, and the journey comes to a brief halt. Tosca sets to work, making some small sandwiches of bread and dried meat and some fruit. So, what did the three of you end up buying from Benig? Besides Ray's upgraded clothing, that is. Mostly just some extra supplies, but he did have one thing of interest that I picked up. She pulls out a small gemstone, tossing it to Kessray. Large enough to easily hold, small enough to easily hide. It seems to grow slightly in the light. Wow, you seem like you're pumped up about some shit you bought from a thrift shop. Tosca shoots a glare at Kessray before returning to the food prep and speaking again. I've seen something like it before, only once though. If I'm right, it allows the person holding it to become unremarkable. I think that's what I would call it anyway. What exactly does that mean? The guy I learned from, he had one just like this. He was able to blend into a crowd and no one would remember ever seeing him. Almost like he was never there. Seems useful and expensive. What did it cost us? That's the thing, very little. I don't think Benig knew what he had, to be honest. I'm pretty sure he thought it was just a pretty trinket. I got it for just a single silver piece. No shit? That's amazing. Yeah, I know. Imagine what else we might have been able to find if only you and the Grimlord hadn't decided to screw with him. Could have had more time to look around. Kessray trades back the crystal for the offered bread from Tosca. I was bored! Can't blame me for having a little fun. I can, and I do. Anyway, I figured this might come in handy someday. Never know. Plus, he wasn't wrong. It's pretty. Probably. However, it seems like you need to worry more about the things you should notice. She points in the direction behind Kessray and Tosca, brow raised. The girls turn and look. Walking up behind him is a trio of fox-like creatures. The lack of alarm from Tharine is quickly validated as they seem very friendly and hold no weapons. Even Kessray, with her normally aggressive nature, doesn't move for his sword. The trio of visitors approach the group, the apparent leader spreading his arms wide. Greetings and salutations, fellow travelers. May the light of Alora bless you this day. Hello, I think. Kessray turns back to Tosca, a confused look on her face. Did I just talk to a fox? I think you did, though to be fair, they talked first. I apologize if I made you uncomfortable. I surely meant no insult. No, I've never met a talking fox before. Well, now you have. Surely this is a moment for celebration, yes? With a wave of his hand, a small bottle appears in Kessray's hand. She looks at it curiously for a moment before passing it to Tosca and returning her attention to the creature. What? I'm so confused right now.
Come, I see you've already broken bread, so let us join together for a drink and make new friends. Two of the creatures quickly move to sit next to Kesrae, seeming to smile up at her, though it's hard to tell. The larger one moves over to Thari, waving his hand again and causing a second small bottle to appear in her hand as well. Another bottle for you, my dear, though you'll need to share. I do hope that's okay. I am unable to provide any more today. Okay, so this is where we're gonna leave off for now, guys. And we will see you back here next month for more Between Two Worlds. I'm out. Race of Life is coming up next.